Father, we truly do give you honor and glory this morning. I thank you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit is here, working among your children, doing what needs to be done. We do glorify your Son this morning, Father. Father God, just do whatever you want to do here this day. The miracles that are needed, Father God, let them occur. The healings, Father God, of the wounded spirit, let them occur. Whatever it is, Father, we've come to sit at your table and to receive what you have for us this day. I ask a special blessing on those who came out this morning. Even when they couldn't even hardly walk, they came because they want to sit and dine with you. I just thank you for it. I just thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Let it be known unto you this day that I am the Lord God Almighty, and I fail not. Right now, I'm listening to your petitions. I am sending you the answers. This day, receive all that you have need of. This day, continue to rejoice in me. For I am going to be with you all day. I'm going to minister to you all day. And I am going to complete the works that I have started. As you lift your hands to me in holy reverence, I, the Lord thy God, I will shine down upon you. And you shall have all that you have need of. Right now, I am answering every prayer that you've thrown up to the throne of grace. I am sending you the miracles that you need in your finances, in your home, in your body, in your workplace. The miracles are coming. Just receive. If the Holy Spirit's still ministering you, let him go ahead and minister. Don't let anybody distract you. This morning, what I want to talk about is Jesus being resurrected from the dead. I want us to look at some scriptures and see exactly what went on when he came out of that grave. Now, if you already know this, this is fine. This is just, you're just going to have, just get a little overview of it, all right? To refresh your memory. In Mark 9:31, it says, because Jesus was teaching his disciples, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. In John 2:19, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. These are parables that people did not understand. Now let's go to John chapter 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, we know it's John, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter, therefore, went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following John, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now that sort of blew my mind after they walked with Jesus and all the teaching Jesus did. It says that they did not understand he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, the angel said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Mary had agape love for Jesus, and she could not stand the fact that she did not know where Jesus was. The disciples had agape love for Jesus. Now, Mary had agape love in, I can't remember what the other, Mary had the highest love. What's the other love? Huh? Now, one Philo, huh? Yeah, Philo, yeah. So, disciples had filial love for Jesus. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Now, why did Mary not know it was Jesus? When they put him in the tomb, he was disfigured, right? So, if she saw, when she saw him, his face should have been disfigured, right? But it says here that she did not know him. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping, and whom are you seeking?" She's supposing him to be the gardener. Was his face not disfigured anymore? See that? Said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." Mary knew the voice of Jesus, but she did not recognize Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." In other words, don't touch me, because I have not gone to the Father yet. "But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Now, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. And then in John 20:19, it says, "Then the same day at evening," she went in early in the morning, the day passed. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews," see, they ran and hid, all right, "Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." They weren't happy until they saw his side and his hands. "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" Jesus commissioned the disciples to go. This is after he died. "And when he had said this, he breathed on him and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" You see that? And I am believing that this is what God did to you all through the praise and worship this morning, as he was breathing upon you and giving you the Holy Spirit in his fullness So now you can, and he's commissioning you, so you can go and do the same as the disciples did. And John 20, 26 through 31 said, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, you know, this is 8 days later, all right? Disciples were in that room by themselves, and Jesus came to the room. Were they with him during those 8 days? Then Jesus said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. As I was reading the story about Jesus, I realized that a lot of the miracles that we read about, he did after he died and came back to life. And what did we read here? And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now, was Jesus working alone, or were the disciples there with him when he was doing all these miracles? If they were with him, how come after 8 days they were in that room and he came to them? This is just something to think about, because we really don't understand the Bible. And when the events occurred, we talk about them, but do we really understand when these events occurred? And John 21:1 says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Now, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. So it sounds to me like they weren't together. It sounded like they were separated. And Jesus was doing his thing. And then he would come back to the disciples. I mean, this, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but let's just look at this, you know. All right, so this story right here, this is the account of Jesus feeding disciples breakfast. So that's what that's all about in John 21:1 there. And then John 21:12 said, Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? You see this? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them. It seems like the Last Supper again, doesn't it? Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So if this is the third time that he showed himself to his disciples, then he must not have always been with his disciples. Are we on the same page here? In John 21:25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written in one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. And I said again, where were the disciples while Jesus was doing all these mighty events? And if you read, remember whenever Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? He asked him all this after he died. You can read it, you know, but he asked him this after he died and rose again. Are you understanding what I'm trying to get at here? In Acts chapter 1, verse 1, this is Luke speaking. He said, dear Theopas, the first book I wrote was about everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was carried up into heaven. Before he went, he talked to the apostles he had chosen. With the help of the Holy Spirit, he told them what they should do. This was after his death, but he showed them that he was alive, proving it to them in many ways. The apostles saw Jesus many times during the 40 days. See, it says, it tells me he was not with them. The apostles saw Jesus many times during the 40 days after he was raised from the death. So Jesus, after he died and rose again, was walking the earth for 40 days. Isn't that what it says? He spoke to them about God's kingdom. One time when Jesus was eating with them, he told them not to leave Jerusalem. He said, wait here until you receive what the Father promised to send. Remember, I told you about it before. John baptized people with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, now when he had spoken these, when Jesus had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So Jesus was taken up then in the air. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men, who were the men in white apparel, were angels, right? Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So he's telling them he's coming back again. Now, I wanted us to see, I never realized as I read and taught the Bible, that all these things happened after Jesus died. Maybe you did, but I did not. It was great revelation to me. And the fact that he kept saying he kept coming back to the disciples, I'm still wondering, where were the disciples while Jesus was doing all this work? Why weren't they so excited about him coming, being back with them, you know, being back on, still on earth? Why weren't they with him watching what he was doing, or even, you know, assisting him in some way? And I thought it was important to understand that Mary loved Jesus more than the disciples did. And, you know, the disciples were always fighting among themselves when they were walking for 3 years with Jesus. But Mary loved Jesus with all every part of her being. And then Jesus, after he rose from the dead, then he commissioned the disciples to go forth, you know, in person, commissioned them to go forth and preach the gospel. All right? Now, this is what God has to say. Now, into your hands I place the harvest of souls that have been waiting for such a time as this. I place within your hands the heavenly harvest of young converts that need to know all about me and my kingdom. All right, so he said, now into your hands I place the harvest. So when Jesus came to earth, what was his purpose? To bring in the harvest. Teach repentance. When Jesus commissioned the disciples, he was sending them, he sent them forth to bring in the harvest. Now he says, into your hands, into our hands, I place the harvest of souls that have been waiting for such a time as this. So now God has commissioned us to go out there and preach the gospel to the lost in a dying world. We know that Jesus suffered. First of all, John the Baptist was ridiculed to no end. And then Jesus suffered all the time. He was ridiculed and put down all the time. We know the disciples were constantly running for their life in fear as they preached the gospel. So that makes us understand that we also will be judged and come against just like everybody else did. So even though God has commissioned us to go forth and to save these lost souls, does not mean that people are going to like us. In fact, when you're dealing with a lost soul, they don't like you because the devil in them does not want you telling that person they need to get saved. And they will always come against you until the Holy Spirit convicts them that they need to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they need to get saved. You are no different than Jesus. You're no different than the disciples. You're no different than John the Baptist. The Bible says if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to suffer. All right? God went on to say, you are fully equipped to do all things for those who do not know me. You will lead, guide, and direct them to my heavenly kingdom. Your exploits will far exceed anything you have read in my word. Greater works. We are doing the greater works. God said that I didn't. Anything in green, he says. Many will stand in my presence and know me face to face. He's talking about you guys, all right? Many will be so hungry for me that they will not be satisfied until they have visitation after visitations of my angelic host, telling them what to do. I will send my messengers to you, and they shall tell you of great swelling events that are on the horizon and your role in bringing them to pass. Let's read that again. This is very important because this is what God is wanting us to do. Many will stand in my presence. He's talking about us, all right, the church, and know me face to face. Many will be so hungry for me that they will not be satisfied until they have visitation after visitation of my angelic host, telling them what to do. So instead of you having people tell you what to do, or your little pea brain telling you what to do, he's saying that we're going to be hungry and we'll want the angels to come and tell us what to do. And if you read anything about the older people who were out there, the angels would come in their bedroom to sit in their bed, sit in their rocking chairs and wake them up. And then say, this is what God's telling you have to do. Now, this is what God is telling us that's going to happen to us. Those who believe, this is what God is going to do to you. Why would you not want to serve him? Why would you not want this? God said, I will send my messengers to you. See, God is telling you he'll do this to you. And they shall tell you of great swelling events that are on their horizon in your role and bringing them to pass. He's going to tell you what's going to happen, and then, but you have a part to play. All right? You don't understand the importance of what God is doing with the body of Christ right now. He's going to do great. He's already doing great and powerful things. A lot of people are having dreams and visions more than they've ever had in their life. This is God. He is on the move. He's already on the move, and we're going to see wonderful things happen in the body of Christ. God said these angelic beings have been waiting for this time frame of church history, and they are so ready to do your bidding. You hear that? The angels have been waiting to do your bidding. Why don't some of you just start calling? I call on the angels all the time. I really do. Then God says, ramp up, little ones, ramp up and be brought forth with great and mighty power from on high. Rejoice mightily at all times. Be prepared in season and out of season, for you know not when I will call upon you to do the miraculous. I don't care if you're in the bathroom, scrub the toilet. He might say, get in your car and go here, go there. Or, you know, he might say, somebody's coming up your driveway, go out there and meet them, and I want to do something for them. We have to be instant, in season and out of season. Well, God, you know, I have to make my breakfast. He doesn't care about your breakfast. You know, well, I have to get ready for work. He doesn't care about your work. You're supposed to be working for him. Then he said, it is showcase time for all that call upon my name. I am laughing, I am dancing, and I am rejoicing with you. The greatest event in church history has already begun, and you are partaking of the first fruits of this great and mighty event. I think it's wonderful that we are partaking of the first fruits. Jesus partook of the first fruits of salvation. And ever since I realized that about 3 months ago, I said, God, what are we going to be first fruits of? So right here it is, and you are partaking of the first fruits of this great and mighty event. As you go forth, just rejoice in the greatness of this work. You need to quit being down in the molly grubs all the time. You need to quit talking about gloom, doom, and despair. And what we need to be doing is being about the Father's business. there are some events coming upon the scene that's going to require you to drop everything that you're doing and rush to the Father. And he's going to give you instruction on what you're to be doing right that very second. In your households, I'm just hearing God say, in your household, there's going to a flood go through your house, and souls in your house that aren't saved are going to be saved instantly. You're going to hear you screaming and yelling, and you're going to run and find out that the Holy Spirit has hit them, and the Holy Spirit has brought them to their knees, and they are receiving Christ. You know, all we have to do is be there with the Holy Spirit in us, and God can do whatever he wants to do in our homes. This can happen in your workplace. This can happen at a grocery store. You could be standing in there in line, you know, waiting with your little mask on to pay for your stuff, and all of a sudden everybody around you starts screaming and falling out in the Spirit. This is the truth. This is going to happen. Do you want to be partaker of what God is doing in this end time hour? Do you really want to be a part of all that God has for us? I'm hearing God say the church doors are going to swing open and not be able to close because there's going to be so many people coming in the doors all the time that they're going to be constantly open. And I can just see just people jamming, you know, into a church, into the doors. I mean, now, are you ready to minister to that type of people as they come through the door? You know, we're sitting here right now. Well, what if all of a sudden the Holy Spirit had 50 people drawn to that door? What would you do about it? Would you look around and say, you're not having my chair? you know? Or would you be willing to jump up and just start ministering to them? Well, it's Easter and I have to go home and eat my dinner, so you just have to wait till I come back tonight. No, your dinner can burn, right? God's tell me right now, the mystery that's in the gospel is going to start being revealed like never before. Our blind eyes are going to be open to what the gospel is really telling us. You know, if you're like me, you just used to be going to church and have somebody else read the word to you, and then you believed everything they said to you, even though they twisted the word, you still believe what they said. And that's not going to happen anymore. God's saying he's going to put a hunger with inside of you, a burning with inside of you, that you're just going to have to read the word for yourself. You're just something going to say, you need to pick that word up and read it. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to drop everything you're doing? If you're out there planting bulbs, are you ready to drop everything you're doing and run in and pick up your Bible and start reading it? You know what I'm saying? I had a pastor one time, he couldn't read a lick of nothing except the Bible. He could not read, work for the state. But he could not read. But he'd get up there and he'd read the Bible. So don't say I can't read, because if God can, and this man was mighty full of the Spirit. He was really Spirit-filled. If God can let him read the word, he can let you read the word. All right, you don't have somebody else to read it to you. He's going to let open your eyes and understanding. He's going to let you read that word. You have to have the word down inside of you in order for God to pull it out of you. If you don't have anything down in here, when you're ministering to somebody, he has nothing to work on. He has nothing to pull out. And this is why you should be constantly studying his word and letting him show you the truth of that word. I'm just telling you what God's saying right now. Some of you in here, God's going to grow up overnight in your walk with God. You've been sort of just baby stepping along, and he's just going to give you a big boost, and you're just going to grow up overnight in the Word, and you're going to understand the Word like you've never understood anything in your whole entire life. And you're going to have to understand this Word so you can minister his Word to the lost and the dying. And are you ready for that? Are you ready to lay aside all the cares of the world and just work for Jesus? We are headed, I'm hearing God say, we are heading for an explosion of souls in the house of God. And these souls are crippled in their minds. In other words, they don't know anything at all about Jesus and what he did. Now, do you have enough in you where you can give it out to them so they can understand it? Have you ever been in a church where they preach way over top of your head? They use great big words, you know, and you don't understand tiddly what they're saying to you. I know when I first started, you know, I was always went to church. When I came born again and I went into churches, the pastors were there preaching stuff that people were not understanding. I mean, I understood it. And so God told me, I want you to teach in simplicity. And that's how I want you to teach. I want the people to be able to understand what you're telling them. So I don't care how many degrees you have behind your name. That is, they don't mean a thing to God. He wants you to use the truth in simplicity and explain it to them like you would a little child. Because they are little children. Don't know a thing about God. And that's how you have to talk to them, right? Come on. God said tonight, today, he wants you to have a brand new mindset before you leave here. Yes, this is all Easter we celebrate because, Jesus was resurrected. But today, we're still celebrating that, but today it's something different. What he's celebrating along with Jesus is you being resurrected from dead works into living works. And God wants you to know and understand that one day you will be seated in heavenly places. Then you will know all things. But until that day comes, you just need to walk with God in total faith and let him lead God and direct you in everything that you do and everything that you say. I want you to I think the word for the day was about rejoicing, wasn't it? It was a happy thing. And God wants us to be rejoicing. He wants us to be a light to a dark, dark world. We aren't supposed to be down in the Molly Grubs like the world is. We're supposed to be happy and singing and dancing and rejoicing. And God doesn't take any excuses why you can't be doing that. If you think you have to be dumb, go to your bedroom and shut the door and be dumb in there. Don't be dumb in front of somebody else. All right? I once saw a pastor one time, and he was in a grocery store because I went in there to get some stuff. And he was just telling this cashier, you know, the guy who owned the store, I mean, it was so negative. And I'm standing there thinking, why would you talk like that to this non-believer? How are you ever going to get him to believe if you come in here and talk all this negative stuff to him? We're all guilty of that. I'm sorry, he wasn't the only one ever did that. A lot of us in here, probably every one of us in here, we have said something negative to a non-believer that we shouldn't have said. Because we're not Jesus, and we're not resurrected yet. We're not sitting up in heaven all the time. We're still here in this earth. This morning, what God wants to do is he wants to revamp you. He wants to reorganize the things that's in your mind. He wants to give you a brand new mindset of what Jesus truly did and when and how he did it. Because we are not yet schooled in the truth of the word. We've just sort of been skimming over it. And so now God wants to give us new mindsets. He wants to empower our minds where we can, when we read the word, we will understand the word. And so we're not going to labor this long today because I do know that you do have dinner waiting. But I would like for us to just receive this power that God wants to give us so that when we read the word, we will understand it deeper than we've ever understood it before. And we won't be blind to what's going on. And if we let God do this, the devil can't come and sideswipe us, you know, because we'll know the truth. And he can't take the simple word and distort it like he does. So that's what the altar is open for this morning. We'll just take a few minutes for God to go ahead and touch you and restore you to the place he wants to restore you.